Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 83 of the Sunday League of Pundit Show. We haven't been with you for a few weeks because we have been taking a break. We've got our speeder back. How are you, Tin Ribs?
I'm good, thank you.
Very good. How are you, Jim Jam?
Not bad, not bad.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you have myself, Stretch, and we are going to do something a little bit different today, and we're going to go into a non-sporting, for the most part, podcast, talking a bit more in depth about our lives and one thing and another, and we'll just see how it goes, really. So, hello, hello, and welcome to the Sunday League of Pundit Show, episode 83. We've missed the last 3 weeks because, firstly, we decided to have a bit of a break, which we're going to do again over the summer months when football is not on. But we did think that we'd come and just do a couple of general podcasts as opposed to footballing-related podcasts.
Might have to talk a bit of football. Some stuff has happened since we last did it.
Nothing interesting. Congratulations to all the teams that won a trophy. Newcastle, Crystal Palace, Tottenham. They all did well. Yeah. Chelsea, I don't really care about. I'm really honest about them. But yeah, well done to all the teams that won a trophy. Well done to Arsenal for still keeping Mikel Arteta in a fucking job. Leeds, congrats on your promotion. Congrats on your relegation.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it. Football done. Yeah. Nobody cares about anything else. Trent's gone and he's now called Trent instead of Alexander Arnold. But, yeah. So.
Very good at Spanish, though.
He is pretty good at Spanish, isn't he?
I think he's been learning the language for a little while.
Yeah. I definitely don't think
that's
a one-off.
Bit like Paddy the Baddy suggested he'd been learning for about 18 months previously.
Yeah, but I mean, look, at the end of the day, when Real Madrid come calling, you're not going to say no, are you?
Yeah.
It's Real Madrid. What hasn't he won with Liverpool?
He won everything.
Well, you don't need to stay then, do you?
No.
Just all the fans being shitty with him because they're all arseholes. Anyway, so you and I have not done the last few weeks. Tin Ribs has not been with us for fucking ages, although he is with us today.
I am. I'm back.
We have not been here for the last couple of weeks because we've just had a bit of a break.
Yeah.
Partly because Tin Ribs was not with us.
And stuff came up at times.
And we've had a lot to deal with, which we'll probably go into during this podcast. So, welcome back, Tin Ribs.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Jim Jam. How are we?
All right.
You're good?
I'm good. I'm good.
I'm going to go with yes.
Going to go with average?
Yeah.
Above average?
A little bit above average.
A little bit above average. Great. And you're good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Bonus.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, who's going to go first?
I'll let you guys go first because I'm probably going to fill a small slot with.
That's fine. We've got three parts. So if you want to take the whole of the first one, you go for it.
So obviously, we had a bit of a joke about why I disappeared. I liked the idea of me getting arrested. Kind of sounded quite funny.
The speeding thing.
Yeah. To be fair, my girlfriend did turn round to me and goes, "Did he get arrested?"
So
until she doesn't know, anyone who knows him has gone, "It's about time."
Yeah, all the people who know me go, "Yeah, that's
about funny. Time he got caught."
It's like when your insurance rings you up and they're like, you're going through your list and they're like, "And how do you drive your car?" The correct answer is you've like commute and la la. Me, my reply is like, "I fucking nicked it, mate." Do you know what I mean?
And it's accurate as well. He literally drives it like he stole it. So you've not been with us for 6 weeks, 7 weeks?
It's four, maybe five.
Definitely longer than that.
No, it's not been that long, I don't think.
It might be 5 weeks, because I think probably missed two where it was just us.
Two or three.
Yeah.
And then we've missed three, so I think it's close to six.
Yeah.
He did make a brief appearance in one. You went off to do something and
I
left
had to
me.
Save the day, because you...
Save the you day.
Yeah.
Fucking have you heard it? Anyway.
Okay, so I had a bit of a... I've basically, when I was a kid, talking about things like ADHD, ASD, like autism and stuff like that, they kind of carried massive stigmas with them. So when someone goes, "Oh, you might be autistic," your brain just goes straight to Rain Man. Yeah, gonna watch for a little bit. Yeah. I was just like, no, that's not me. So when they sort of wanted to do tests on me and shit, I just didn't do them. I was like, no, that's not me. And there's a term, high functioning, that tends to go with people who have, as we mean, the group of people who I know are all the same, have TISMs. We have TISMs. And when you're high functioning, it's sort of like you can pretty much do what you need to do. You can get about day by day. You don't really need support. The only problem is I've gone the best part of 40 years with no support, no way of, you know, no sort of set coping mechanisms, no sort of training, no design. It's just been completely me just masking everything, suppressing everything and getting on with life. So about 6-7 weeks ago, the cracks underneath the plaster that I've been plastering over for fuck knows how long now, decided these cracks were no longer cracks, and the whole house kind of came imploding in on me, and I pretty much had a full-blown breakdown, meltdown, whichever way you sort of want to word it. One of my friends who deals with Zen people, when I mentioned I was having this situation, they kind of spoke through me with them and went, yeah, you just have one of your autistic meltdowns. When my reply was, what's an autistic meltdown? They sort of looked at me with shock and went, you're 41 years old and you've never had an autistic meltdown? I was like, nope, not that I'm aware of. And he was basically, their reply was, this is going to suck for you then, because you've got a lot of suppressed emotions, a lot of suppressed feelings, a lot of shit that's gone on for years that you've bottled up. You've never dealt with them. And they're all coming out now. So I basically spent the last 5-6 weeks in some sort of like mental breakdown moment where I could literally go from being really quite happy to like full-blown depressed, don't know, trying to understand things, trying to figure things out. It's just been really hard. And it gets to the point where you sort of look at yourself and you start questioning, is the person that I am the person that I've created to fit in? Because that's all I've ever done. I've tried to fit in with people. I've done things I don't enjoy. So for example, I mean, Stretch, you've known me years. I used to go out on all the nights out with the lads. I used to be out all the time. I hate going out. I hate being in social positions.
It was glaringly obvious you didn't enjoy it as well.
Yeah. But I used to do it because that's what was expected of me. And I really hated doing it, but I would do it. So I would always put myself in a bad position. And all these years I've sort of created this person that I think I should be. So it's been really difficult sort of now coming to terms with things and trying to focus on who is the real me, what's really me, what's a mask, what's real, what's not. And it's been really, really hard, if I'm honest. It's been a bit of a rough journey. So not being on the pod was kind of I couldn't cope. I couldn't sit here with an emotional breakdown and sort of try and plow through, because it's got to the point where a couple of weeks ago, I'm very good at putting a smile on my face and looking like everything's okay whilst inside I'm just not. And a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't mask for Toffee. It was like everyone could tell what mood I was in. I couldn't put on a fake persona. I couldn't make it out that I was having a good time when I wasn't. It was very clear when I wasn't.
Run out of makeup.
I did. I ran out of makeup. L'Oreal, I need a sponsorship. Is it L'Oreal? No, that's Heck. I don't know. Rimmel or whatever. Yeah, Rimmel London. There you go. Can I have a sponsorship deal, please?
Do you think that it's a good thing it's happened? I know obviously it happening isn't a good thing, but when you come through the other side of it, do you think it might be the best thing that's ever happened to you?
Yes, absolutely.
That means it is a good thing.
One of my biggest regrets, in a way, I mean, obviously, you can't choose these things, you can't choose when they happen, but I think there's part of me that wished this had happened a while back.
You probably could have done if you'd have let it.
No, I don't think it could. I don't think the breakdown would have been as bad.
Well, no, it wouldn't have been as bad.
Yeah, but I think it's got to the... I would have kept going until it was tipping point. I've been plastering the cracks for so long.
You did go until it went to a tipping point. That's the whole point of it being as bad as it was.
What I mean is, it's like...
Carry on until you got to a point where you just physically couldn't carry on any longer. Yeah. So you'd already done that.
No, what you said about I could have done it before, I don't think I could have. I don't think I built myself into a position where I couldn't change the course I was on. The course was set. I think it was just sort of like this is your course. At some point, you're going to hit that wall. There's no option.
How do you feel now, then?
At the moment, I'm okay. I'm in one of the better positions I've been, places I've been in for quite a while. I wouldn't say I'm 100%, but I'm now coming to terms with a lot of things. I went to the doctors to get a bit of help, and it's that moment when you're sat there explaining like everything that's wrong, and he doesn't even say anything. He just literally prints off a form and goes, "Fill that out, and then I'll get back to you." I was just sort of like, "Yeah, okay, I'm clearly not in a good place." So he didn't even ask many questions. He just said, "Tell me what's going on," and then immediately just went, "Yeah, fill that in. They'll help you."
Wow.
And I was like, things cannot be good then if that's the situation. Because normally they ask a lot of questions to make sure you're going in the right direction. When they know which direction you need, that's
yeah,
a little bit.
Just obvious though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you'd got to a point which had made it obvious.
Yeah.
What was wrong. And so, well, certainly to a trained professional anyway.
Yeah, so that's sort of what's been going on. It's just been, I mean, you guys have obviously seen a little bit about it and seen how I am behind this camera, but... Yeah. I did say when I came back, I would talk about it and quite openly talk about it.
So. I was going to say our conversation was about 3 hours.
It was.
Which was like 2 days after.
Yeah, we sat here for a while the one night.
That was, it was a very tough night. Mm. But it's like you said, you saw the moment where it just...
Yeah.
I just completely lost it. And it was... You know the whole saying, I just wish the ground would open up and swallow me. That's kind of how it felt in a way. It sort of felt like all of a sudden the ground I was standing on wasn't there and I was free falling. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I couldn't even process simple things, like simple problems, simple day-to-day shit that I needed to do. My brain just wasn't focusing on it. I couldn't focus on anything. I couldn't figure things out. And then when I started looking at things, I was questioning myself. Is this you? Is this that? Blah, blah, blah. It was quite a scary time, actually, to be fair.
It's not good.
No.
But, I mean, you're through the other side of it, so you now know what to expect.
Yeah.
You now know to let it happen next time.
Yeah.
And not hold on to it.
Yeah, there's definitely... it's a learning curve, and it's sort of...
Everything is.
Understanding when is the right time, what's the right time, what you can and can't do. And you can't keep suppressing these issues. So yeah, it has been interesting. It's been very challenging, very interesting. Sort of opening up, trying to figure out things, because I've never been a good talker ever. I'm very.
Yeah, we've been doing this year and a half. Everyone knows that you're shit at talking.
No, I'm good at talking shit. I mean, like, I'm very good at that. No, it's the opening up. It's like when if someone's got a problem, I'm really good at listening and I can do all that. But then when it comes to me having a problem, can't do it. I've always struggled really hard. But the last 5 weeks, I found it a lot easier to open up, talk to people. And when they say it's good to talk, it is, you know,
You certainly did that night with us in the living room.
Yeah.
Because that was quite eye-opening for both of us, that was.
Yeah. It was, I couldn't help it. It all came out and it just, yeah. So, but that's why I said I would do this. I would talk about it on here. I would mention it. I would sort of, and I think it's a case of like, even if you're not neurodiverse and you are, but you're just having a hard time, I will tell you now, opening up and talking to people will literally save your life. It's insane how much bottling it up just doesn't help. It does not help.
So people helped you through yours. Do you feel like now that you've experienced it, do you feel in a position where you could help somebody else in the future? Or is that too early right now?
I think I'm not fully in control of... So there's different systems that they implement. So I was talking to my friend who was given, so when nothing's working, when you need to stabilize, when you need to anchor yourself into a position, he came up with this five senses thing where you immediately think, what five things can I see? Pick five things to see. What four things can I touch? And so forth. And you start going through your five senses and you count down to like the last one, which is one thing you can taste, sort of thing. So it's like smell, touch, taste, see, hear. It didn't work for me. It kind of seemed a bit like a weird one, but not everything works for everyone. So I told him about the circle of influence, and that one works for me, and he liked that one. So he said the next time he has I've got to hook up with him on that one to see how that like got on with it. Mm-hmm. But the circle of influence, it's like, so for sensory overload, a lot of things is people get, I get sort of bound up on things that other people are doing that I can't control. Did I show you the video? I showed you the video. Did I show you the video with the little boy in the peanut butter, the ADHD? ADHD versus autism?
No.
So there's a really funny video where it's a longer video, but it's a snippet from it. And they write instructions and then the dad does them to the letter. But when the lad put the butter knife in the peanut butter, he just literally picks it up and just puts it into it, handle first. And the lad's like, and just has a complete freak out. And the dad just looks at me and goes, "You're doing it wrong." And he's like having a full blown meltdown over it. The amount of people I've showed that, I've just gone, "That's so you." Because they've seen me do it. I have an issue when someone is doing something and they're doing it wrong. If they're doing it wrong and it's, in my head, really obviously simple and they should be able to do it and they're not doing it right, yeah, it kind of like really upsets me. And the circle of influence is about how to get around certain events and certain things that you can't control. So something that would put me into like a bit of a moment where I'm like, "Oh, I can't deal with this." It's about how to deal with that. So your circle of influence is you immediately look at the situation. Where am I? What's the situation? So what can I influence? So as I'm sat here right now, what can I influence? I can influence the microphone. I can influence where it is. I can influence how far away from me it is. I can change it. I can adjust it. That's adjustable. I can see my phone's on the side. I can pick that up if I want to. That's circle of influence. My drink is over there. I can top it up. I can pick it up. I can do that. My interaction with you, I can have a conversation, I can open the conversation up so I have an influence on the conversation, but ultimately whether you choose to engage or not is not down to me. So now we're talking about things outside my circle of influence. I can't influence your microphone. I mean, I could be a dick and stand up and smack them out of the way, but in the grand theory of things, that's not mine to control. I'm not going to adjust the height of it because it doesn't affect me. I can't influence your train of thought. I can't influence if you're sat down. I can't influence what you're saying or what questions come into your mind. They're not things that I can control. I can't control if the sign decides to fall down. There are aspects that are out of my control. And rather than worry about it or focus on it, you have to work out what can I control, what can't I control. If I can control it, that's where I focus on. If I can't, don't. Take it out of your thing. So I can't control the weather. That's outside my circle of influence. So why worry about it? So it's processing the situation, taking into account everything within the area. What can I control? What can't I control? And it's just grounding myself into a position to, if I'm having a meltdown because something happens in the living room, well, what's the point? Because I can't do anything about it. So why let it bother me? And that's what it is. It's sort of like, that's a coping like a control mechanism. I haven't quite mastered it. I'm learning to use it though, because it does work.
I'm very much in that camp.
Yeah.
Very much in that camp. One of my favourite sayings is, "It is what it is." Because someone will say to me, "Well, what about this and what about that?" I'm like, "It's what it is." Because there's nothing I can do about it. So it will be what it will be. It is what it is. There's nothing I can do.
Don't let it bother you.
So what do you want me to do about it?
Yeah, so I'm learning.
Unless I can physically affect it myself by doing something, it is what it is.
Yeah.
We had a very similar conversation in the kitchen about overthinking. You'd gone to bed at this point
because
I was going to say, I think we spoke for 3 hours in there. I think we had another hour in the kitchen.
And about 20 minutes after that, my alarm went off.
And it was about our overthinking and that I worry that much about stuff that's happening in 6 months' time or whatever.
Yeah,
and it was about, and you used a painting metaphor about building short-term goals and stuff.
Don't look on the bigger picture, look at the small pictures. What can you influence? Again, sort of that influential point. Why look at the big overall arcing picture? Because then it makes the task so much bigger. But if you break it down into small, achievable tasks,
end up accomplishing the big goal even thinking about it.
Yeah, it's that saying, isn't it? Look after the pennies and the pounds will look after themselves.
Yeah.
You focus on collecting the pennies, and before you know it, all of a sudden it's like, "Oh, hang on, I've got a couple of pounds here," or so forth. And it does work that way. Small achievable goals are another thing that I've started to do to make myself feel better. It's like, I've got some work to do, and there's a long-term goal. The project at work is set for November. Now, if I look at it as that's my end goal. What am I going to achieve? It's going to take me a lot of work and I'm going to get stressed out. So what I've done is I've got a work list, and every day I'll just, this is what I need to achieve this week. So I'll write out my list of things. Keep in mind I'm doing this on the side of my actual job. So this is all sort of like a bonus point to my job. It's sort of like I do it in my spare moments. So I'm not going to get a lot done because I've got a lot of other things that I'm doing with my job, and this is what needs to be done by November, hence the reason it's got till November. It's not actually that big a challenge. I could probably smash it out in a week if I had the week to do it, but I don't because I have my other job as well. So I'm sort of getting through. I just created a list of little tasks. This one can be done in 20 minutes. This one can be done in an hour. This one can be done so forth. And that's how I deal with it. Come November, I'll be honest, I think by end of September I'll have done it. But I'm not looking at the big picture. I'm looking at the little picture. What's little? What can I achieve? What can I do? It's just coping mechanisms. So in regards to, like you were saying, could I help someone else through it? At the moment, no, because I'm not completely in control and understanding of who I am and what I am and what I know. Whereas there's a lad I work with called Chris, who's currently teaching me some methods and helping me through. And he's massively helped me. He's also the one who sends me all the memes, because why not?
Is that why we get fucking bombarded?
Yeah, no, you get bombarded because I'm bored. And I just want to say, whoever has created those AI Yeti stuff, Bigfoot stuff, is just, yeah, amazing.
It's brilliant.
All I'm doing at the moment is, I don't even care, I hate Facebook. My social media interaction has dropped hugely. And you know what? I'm better for it. But I only go on Facebook now just to find more of those Bigfoot vlogs.
Yeah, they are good.
They are absolutely...
You must have seen them. He's put about 1,000 in the group.
They are hilarious. They are absolutely brilliant. And that's the only reason, literally the only reason I go on Facebook at the moment. I don't think I've looked at Instagram for about a month. It's, you know what? Everyone talks about the dopamine hit. I feel better without it. I seriously do.
Yeah, because we're a different generation. We're not from this generation. So our dopamine hit was going out and playing football, seeing our mates. Like when you leave your house and you go and see one of your mates and you make your best mate laugh, that was the hit of dopamine when we were younger. It wasn't going on a console or sitting on your phone. We didn't have fucking phones for a start. We had a landline. That's all we had was a landline.
Yeah.
Like, and if that's why our rule was, when the lights come on, you come home.
Because it was the only way to be told. Because
it was the only timer that we had as a child.
Yeah.
Because most of us didn't have watches. And if we did, we broke them anyway. Because we were always doing something stupid. Climbing trees, punching people,
throwing stones. You wouldn't look at your watch either. You might notice the thing because you start to not see the ball. It'd have to be pitch black.
That's the one.
When you start
getting to a point where
did
you're like,
that go in?
It's 11 all, and I've hit the ball, so I know where it was going. I've no idea where it's finished because I can't see it anymore.
Yeah.
It's dark, and then you look around and you're like, the streetlights came on ages ago.
Yeah.
We're in deep shit here. But
my mum would come down and park up on the car park. Biggest thing was, at that point, it was like, I need to run to the car before my mum gets out of the car.
Yeah.
Because that would be embarrassing.
I didn't have that because I wasn't an only child. So she had to stay at home with Emma.
Yeah.
My sister, she had to stay at home with my sister.
Yeah.
So she just had to stew. That wasn't fucking better, by the way.
Not for you.
In case you're wondering.
Yeah.
Wasn't better. She sat there stewing. The thing is, right, is I look back at it now and I'm like, you fucking knew where I was.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting really pissed. You knew I was on the park playing football because I was never anywhere else.
Yeah. But deep down as well, the other problem side of things, you did have that fear as well when you knew you'd done wrong. You feared your parents and stuff like that.
Yeah, kids are not bothered now.
It's like the fear of teacher and stuff like that as well. You didn't want to
misbehave. Kids aren't even
scared
of the police anymore.
No.
Go to arrest a kid nowadays and they'll go, fuck, social, do this or do that. Cocky little bastards.
Nobody's
got any fucking respect now at all. Nobody's got any respect of anybody, which is sad, really. It's a sad indictment of where society's got to.
Yeah.
And I blame social media for a lot of that. Because we didn't know the shit that was going on in America when we were younger because we didn't have the access that kids have got to it now. Everyone knows exactly what's going on. If somebody had come up to me when I was 10, like, oh, somebody's just been shot in America, my answer honestly would have been, I don't give a shit. I'm never going. I mean, I did. We went on holiday, but you know what I mean. I'm never going to live there. Yeah. It's never going to be my problem.
No.
I don't care. Now, you've got like 9, 10-year-olds talking about Ukraine war.
Honestly, are you going? I barely
are you
see
the train?
It.
Like, the only thing that's happened is we're getting charged more for shit, and that's getting blamed for it. We know it's not the fucking Ukraine war that's causing the price hikes. Agreed. We know it isn't. We're not stupid. Like, nobody's fucking stupid in this country.
It always makes me laugh when it's like, oh, the reason the price of fuel's gone up is because of the price of Ukraine. And then they immediately go, we've made $4 billion in profit, record profits. Like, yeah, corporate greed. Simple as that, corporate greed. Don't fucking gaslight us. We're not stupid.
If you are legally obliged to post your finances online...
Yeah. Don't try and gaslight people.
Don't tell us that that's the cause of the price going up. When your profit last year, we can see, was $1.6 billion, for example. Yeah. I'm not using specifics because I'm not talking about a specific company. Yeah. So your profits last year were $1.6 billion. Not too shabby. Profits. Wages, etc., etc., have already been removed from that shit.
Yeah.
£1.6 billion profit. This year, or what was it? It was in the first 6 months of this year, 2022 or whatever it was, £6.4 billion profit.
Yeah.
So our energy prices have gone up 70%. Your profits have gone up 70%. But you're being fleeced because of the war in Ukraine. Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it. But your problem is...
500%, by the way.
But I mean, at the start, it wasn't that bad. But then you look at it now, and you think, we can't even not pay you because your energy, and we can get taken to court. So you literally, your hands are tied.
This is why I've been looking at things like solar panels and stuff, because it gives you that little bit of power.
Yeah. It sucks though. It's absolutely
stupid that you have to, but it's getting to the point now where I was really against electric cars, and I'm now looking at an electric car going, you know what? If I've got that, if I get that, I get solar panels. The only thing I'm really paying for is gas. Which is a fucking fortune.
I mean, like the fact that I don't look at the news and stuff. I don't watch the news on TV. I don't really look at the news on social media or on my phone or anything. So quite a lot of the time, I don't know what's going on. People will mention stuff at work and they'll go, oh, did you hear what Trump and Elon Musk have been doing? And I'm like, you know what? Actually, I don't. I didn't have a clue what was going on because I don't see anything. And you know what? It's quite a nice place to be. But sometimes I'll go to work and go, I'm guessing the war's still going on with Russia and Ukraine.
Because
I don't... Yeah.
Ignorance.
I think it's a great place. Apparently over in Dubai, they don't post negative news. Don't know how true that is, but apparently they don't. They only post positive stuff.
You know what annoys me about the news, though, ultimately? The news is supposed to be informative. It's supposed to be unbiased, informative facts, and it isn't. It's literally one side view how they want you to see it. Mm-hmm. And I know they'll say, yeah, that's just, you know, the fact, but I think the news should be unbiased. It should be a case of somewhere in the middle of the two sides. Because they always say, isn't it, you've got one truth, their truth, their truth, and the real truth is somewhere in the middle. And it's like, we're always hearing news, but it's always which agenda is being fed by that particular news outlet. Let's use America. You've got CNN, the Republicans. They're giving it for the Republicans. I'm sure it's CNN. But then you've got, is it ABC or ABC News or whatever it is? And they're pro-Democrat. So it's all really anti-Trump, really. And it's just sort of like, can we just have one that doesn't,
Put
a favour in and just tells you the facts.
No, is the answer to that.
No, I know that. But
we're never going to have anything.
It's really
like
annoying
that.
Because the news is supposed to be impartial. The news is supposed to inform you of the situation so you can make your own opinion.
Yeah, it's never going to happen.
So it does.
We're always told what to think and told what to do, told where to go, told what to pay.
Yeah.
But
remember, we're a free society.
Yeah. Not very fucking free, is it?
No. It's like the reason I sit back here, because anyone gets upset by something I say, if they know who I am, you can get so much trouble for your job. It's like, it's a free society where you should have freedom of speech, but it's like this whole, just call them the left as it would be. We want tolerance. We want everyone to be inclusive. We want this and this. Wait, you don't agree with us. You should be banned. You should be cancelled. You should. Hang on, where's your tolerance there? Where's your inclusivity? Just because someone doesn't have the same opinion of you doesn't mean that you have the right to shout them down.
Yeah, but that's what they want, is they want tolerance of their opinion.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is as well, which it's quite a shame to be a part of? It's actually our generation that are causing this. Even though we're on the viewpoints ourselves personally. I think it's a cross between the two, but it is the millennial that we are that, unfortunately, you've got to think when you see the Karens of the world and stuff.
With millennials.
But
we're
unfortunately,
not with Gen X. Yeah.
I'm the crossover.
The millennials are the ones that were born in the 90s.
So when you look at the whole what year counts as millennial and stuff, 83 sits in that position where sometimes some people refer to it as millennials and some people refer to it as Gen X.
Yeah.
It's like I'm in that crossover point.
I'm before that.
Yeah,
so
you're fine. I'm in that sort of like...
I'm 84, so you are. Unfortunately...
Oh, so you're part of the problem.
Yeah, you're part of the problem.
You're part of the problem.
I'm not. Fuck you.
But you know what I mean? Where we don't have that viewpoint or that attitude, and we hate that attitude, but unfortunately we're in that age bracket of...
Hey, less the wee pale face. Nothing to do with me. We've just established that.
Yeah. I bet you there's people your age that are like that, though.
Yeah. They're stupid people in every generation.
Yeah.
Hi.
But... Yeah. It's never going to change for a while.
I don't know. The pendulum seems to be swinging back quite quickly at the moment, I've noticed.
I think... there's only so much... of you,
they've gone too
you
far.
You can only accept so much before you start contradicting yourself.
So let's hit the elephant in the room. Let's just do it. One thing that happened in sports recently: all transgender females are being removed from the women's games. No matter what sport it is, they're being moved. Good.
That's the best thing that can happen for the women's games.
And why? Because finally, someone with a bit of fucking common sense went, you know what? The definition of a woman is someone who was born a female.
Have you not seen the past... is it the past two or the past three winners of Woman of the Year? It's not even been a woman.
No, the man, yeah.
It's like in the dark, Bo Greaves, I think it is. She's dominating the women's game or something like that. And they say, why doesn't she just compete in the men's? And it's like, she does compete in some of the men's events, but...
Darts is genuinely a game... I think could be open to both sexes.
Yeah, but it only works one way. A bit like most sports like that, where you've got snooker or whatever, where you've got...
Snooker's another one.
Skill sports.
Yeah, I don't see why women can't just join in with...
They can.
Exactly.
They can. But men can't go the other way down.
That doesn't make any sense. They should just make it all...
Yeah, I'm okay.
You know what I mean?
When it comes to
the women can compete in the men's darts...
But
because they want
the
more
women's.
Money, but the men can't compete in the women's, because that would...
Because what? Because their height advantage is... that you're throwing it at the same board. It doesn't matter.
Actually, they throw it at a different...
I was about to say they fire at a different range.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is...
Yeah, they throw it 7 foot.
I'm not okay with that.
No. If you get your daughter, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, whatever, and get her to just throw darts like a man, no different. Mm. So don't give them to stand closer or any of that.
Yeah.
You stand where you stand.
Especially like skill sports.
It's a dart. It's not like women are not capable of throwing a dart the same
but
distance.
It's stamina and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, you stand there and you throw darts.
We've
for...
all played darts. Yeah. I don't know if you have. But we
you know
you
I haven't.
Okay.
Shocking at it.
I mean properly.
I'm sorry. Like... You stand there and throw darts for 4 hours at a time or whatever. By the time you've done that, your arm is knackered.
Of course it is, but no more knackered than a woman would be.
Yeah, but she's throwing less distance. The physicality does
come
into
it.
What
I'm saying is, if the woman was throwing from the same distance,
it's
a dart. You're not asking them to throw a javelin or a shot put. It's a dart.
It's still physicality. It's still. It's about what, a foot? Yeah. Foot difference?
You're throwing a dart. Women are capable of throwing a dart the same distance a guy is capable of throwing a dart when it's, what, 12 foot? 12 foot, 11
eight,
foot.
Then basically, you're saying that about javelin.
Yeah.
Still well, javelin's heavier, isn't it?
Why? It's the same javelin.
Yeah, same javelin stretch.
Yep. But what I'm saying is, the javelin itself is heavier.
No, I'm sorry.
Than a dart.
There's still a physicality point.
You can throw a different...
Tennis balls, for example.
Darts are different weights.
Yeah. 20 grams or 25 grams.
Wow.
It's not like a heavy fucking object that we're
I bet you there's some javelins
throw.
That you can hold with one probably
yeah,
bloody
in
finger.
Case,
you're actually like really that. Baffling me with how you can't see the logic behind this.
I see it's what you're saying. I just don't... When you're playing best to five fucking sets, I just don't see the problem.
So let's take tennis. They're doing the same thing, the same weight ball, same rackets. Women play three sets, men play five.
Yes, but men are genetically... designed.
Yeah, but they have mixed. They have a mixed generate. They have the.
Yeah, of course they do. No, but then you've got one woman versus one woman and a guy.
A woman can't
a
hit a ball as hard as a man.
Agreed.
She can't throw a tennis ball as hard as a man.
Agreed.
So a dart being thrown, irrelevant of weight, is being thrown harder by a man. He can throw it further, more regularly than she can. Hence the reason.
Yeah, but over five sets, it doesn't fucking matter.
The same with golf.
Five sets can be quite. A long time if it goes to all ages one.
Why does a woman hit from the women's tee in golf?
I don't think they should. You're asking me. I don't think they should. Just to make them from the same thing.
The point is, that's why.
I go. We all go to golf with people that hit different distances.
Yeah. Right.
So now, like, none of us are big hitters. Let's be honest. None of us hit 280, 290 yards on a drive.
We have done.
It's a fucking rare occurrence.
It needs a nice wind and
a
hill.
It's a rare occurrence. Like, we hit maybe 240 regularly.
Yeah.
I golf with someone that regularly hits 200, who is a far superior golfer to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll get lower scores regularly. But we'll hit 30, 40 yards off the tee.
Because every other shot's better.
Shorter than me.
Yeah.
So don't tell me women can't compete with guys at golf. From the same distance. You don't have to hit. You don't have to hit your driver 300 yards to get onto the green in two in a par four. Because, like, I've been on a par five and hit my four iron twice and been on the green. On a par five. Because I knew I was going to fuck my driver up that day. So I got my four iron out and hit it. Like, I hit it well. Granted, very well. And then I went up to it for a second time and again happened to hit it very well. We're not professional, so it's different for us.
Hmm.
Like, we're not guaranteed to hit the ball well
See,
at all.
This is the difference, though, Stretch. You're talking at amateur level. When you start getting to the pro levels, completely different
situation. No, I do understand that.
And that's why you won't have
I do hit. Understand that. But pool, snooker, darts, I just don't think it's that big a difference. Don't get me wrong. If you're going to fucking chuck a woman onto a marathon and say the women have got to compete with the men, Ridiculous. Or if you're going to chuck a woman into a guy's weightlifting. I'm not saying women can't weightlift, because there's a lot of women out there that will lift a ton more than I will.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what 100%. I mean? There's women out there that will bench me, and I fucking weigh a ton. So I'm not saying they can't do it, but if you've got, I don't know, Eddie Hall, you can't put a woman up against Eddie Hall, whether she's a fucking weightlifter or not. It's Eddie Hall! Like, he is designed to lift shit. Like, his entire existence is about lifting heavy shit. And some of the stuff he does lift is fucking insane, by the way.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't expect a woman to do that, even if she trained her entire life. She's not going to pick half a ton off the floor.
Yeah. To be fair.
There's no... Or the guy that's picked fucking half a ton off the floor. You're literally trying to compare oranges with fucking... chocolate. It's just so different. It's ridiculous. But snooker, pool, darts, I don't see why women can't compete. Genuinely, I don't.
I get that there's a slight difference,
but I just don't think it's big enough to be a major issue.
They do try to compete, but they don't match. So why don't they match?
Maybe it's because they're not standing on the right spot.
Well, I assume they have to when they're playing the men's tournament.
Well, maybe they should practice from there more often, then.
So
I don't see it being that big a difference. Are you telling me a woman playing snooker and a guy playing snooker is going to be a massive difference between the two of them?
There must be.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Because
playing snooker.
Yeah.
You sit down in between your shots, so don't give me that shit that you stood up for four hours.
Yeah, okay, so you're doing a break, you smash the balls, or you want to do get back at spoiling, or you want to clip a ball right at the end of the table and get it back up.
You'd see more women
to be able to do it because he has the strength to hit the ball harder.
You got to think, they're throwing darts, not just, you know, when you see it on the TV at a weekend. They're throwing every single day during a week.
Oh, 8-9 hours, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where the physicality comes into it.
But if a woman trains enough, she can throw darts for 8 hours a day.
Then why aren't they there? Because obviously you've got like Fallon Sherrick, who obviously went to a world championship. She's a great player, and she has beaten the men on the big stage. But do they get to quarterfinal stages, semi-finals, finals? No, they don't. They're not at the same level.
Yeah, but you've got men that have never made a quarterfinal.
Of course you have.
Exactly. So you're picking on this one woman that may just be...
I'm not picking on a woman.
You're just giving an example. Coming out... Okay, you're giving me an example of what... I could give you an example of men that have never been to a quarterfinal.
Yeah.
What does that mean, that they shouldn't be competing in the men's because they can't get to a quarterfinal?
Well, no, but they can't drop... No, but... They can't drop down and go, we're going to pay it.
I'm going to interject here and change the sport, but the point still remains. You pick Sherrick because she is a highlighted... one of the best female darts players in the world.
Yeah.
So when they asked Serena, when they were trying to do the whole women can compete with men bollocks, they brought up Serena Williams.
Who said it's two different sports.
Who literally said, I play with Andy Murray. And if I play with Andy Murray, who was number three in the world, I think he was at the time.
Yeah.
She went, he will smash me in every set constantly. If I played with the men, I would be lucky to make the top 200. I would be lucky to make the top 200. This is a woman who dominated female tennis.
Oh, she was phenomenal.
Oh, phenomenal. Just arguably the
Both of the Williams.
Oh, yeah, both Williams sisters, but Serena just... Serena was... She is the best tennis player in the women's division ever. I don't think there is anyone who gets anywhere near her. She is
She is pretty close.
She's just phenomenal. Power, ability. But even she was admitting, I'm nowhere near them. And the reason I use this as an example, Sherrick is... very good. She smashes the women's division. But when it comes to the crunch, when it comes to the time when it matters, she's not in that cut. And we're not saying that men...
She could beat anybody on her day. She could beat anybody, but she couldn't get all the way to the final. Because I think it's too much.
She hasn't got... Maybe. She doesn't make the cut with the average men. That's not a disrespect. It's just she doesn't make that cut. She isn't of that standard. Like I said, if you put her compared to Serena Williams... Take the sport aspect out of it. They may be leading the way in their sport. They may be the best of the best in their sport. But when it comes to the gender argument, they don't meet the grade.
Maybe.
And
right.
That's the problem. And I that's where...
What we're going to have to do is we're going to take a break. Because we've been going for nearly 45 minutes.
Yeah, but that's but that's where the thing's swinging back.
So we shall pick up with...
something.
We'll start with somebody else's life story in part two then. Now we've done 10 minutes. So we should see you. Hello and welcome back from the break to part two. So we had part of your life story in part one, Tin Ribs.
Yeah.
Do you want to go into yours? Jim Jam?
Who knows what I've been doing?
Well, nobody,
over that
that's
time.
Why we need to be updated. We need an update.
An update. Just still waiting to get divorced.
Okay. How's the whole situation though? A bit more civil? A bit better?
Yeah, it's not too bad at the moment. Good. So that's the main thing.
That's good.
Still see the kids.
Bonus.
So that's on the thing. Still with the same girl as the last one.
Are you though?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Sure it's not changed since then?
100%.
Okay.
Bit of a dick thing to say when you know full well that I am.
Wait till I go into the shit that I've been through over the last few weeks and you'll understand why I don't remember.
Oh.
A reason I remember fuck all from our last podcast. There's a lot happened.
A lot happened with you.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I genuinely, I didn't know whether you were with the same one as you were with last time or not.
Yeah, yeah. Completely.
Yeah, a lot's gone on.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a new lady in our life then, which is good.
Yeah. So it's been going on a few months now.
That's good.
So yeah, really good. Really good place. Have nice times, you know.
Something we did get into with Tin Ribs in the living room, but not on the pod.
Yeah.
Is the world of dating.
Yeah.
And how we found it.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't been in the dating pool.
Yeah.
But you two have. Any thoughts on what it's like to be a guy in the world of dating?
It's shit.
Which apps did we use, or which like methods did we use? Or are we using, in your case?
So I used Hinge, Bumble, got banned from Plenty of Fish.
got banned from a dating
Yeah.
site. Yes, so I breached their social rules because I had a bloke message me, and when I told him I don't date men, he told me he was a woman. Apparently, telling him to pull another one, mate, because your cock and balls are probably bigger than mine, is not a socially acceptable reply, so I am now banned from Plenty of Fish, yes. It's not my fault some guy who has a better 5 o'clock shadow than me, an Adam's apple, a fucking jawline that He-Man would be impressed with in a wig, thinks he's a woman. That's not my problem.
I'm kind of with Tin Ribs on that one. As much as I want to slag you off, I'm actually on your side.
6 foot two. It's like, his stats are like,
6 foot
two. Yeah, he's 6 foot two. He's like, hi, babe. I'm like, nah, sorry, mate.
Hi, babe.
I tried to be nice. I did. Yeah, I tried to be nice. He didn't do it. So I was like, no, go away, mate.
It's not what you want, though, is it?
No. It wasn't.
But again, that's the thing that, like, I mean, did the profile say transgender?
Nope.
Or cross-dresser or whatever it was.
He put himself down as a woman.
Yeah, see, that shouldn't be allowed. Shouldn't be allowed. I've got nothing. If somebody wants to change their sex or whatever, then go for it. Just stop throwing it down everyone's face. Stop. If you look like a dude, expect me to address you like a dude. Simple.
Hmm.
Did make that mistake the other week, by the way, where I addressed somebody as, and it was actually a woman. And do you know what? She was dead cool about it. She was dead cool about it.
You're
an
asshole, you are.
She went, don't worry, it happens all the time.
You're an asshole.
And I'm like, in my defense, you really do look quite masculine. She went, I get it. She went, I know, I get it all the time. I'm not offended.
You know what, though? It's a shame because we've created a society where that is happening. Whereas before, it wouldn't have been an issue. Ten years ago.
You'd have just apologized. I'm really sorry. And she'd have gone, yeah, all right, no worries.
But these days, she must get it all the time because everyone's trying to pretend there's something else. And so tried speed dating the other day.
Speed dating. How'd that go?
It's interesting.
Gonna need a bit more than interesting.
It's just a different. It's really interesting. Like
explain it then for those that have never been speed dating. Okay, much
I've never
like
done
myself,
speed dating.
I've never done speed dating. It's weird. So I wouldn't even know how you get into it.
There's events.
I'm glad that. I hope for well. I will never have to experience this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go into mine in a little bit, but I'm never dating.
So mine came up as a conversation, three glasses of wine deep. I was like, yeah, fuck it, let's have a go.
So yours was through a mate then?
Yeah, we were chatting. Okay. They found one and it was like, okay, let's have a look. So I signed up and then I sort of realised how like this was not going to work for me. So I full meltdown mode and then decided, screw it, let's try it, done it. So there is a social aspect. It's not as like non-social as you would believe.
I think speed dating is going to be very fucking social.
No, what I mean
is like 20, 30 people there or whatever.
You actually get like time to talk to each other and interact as well.
Right.
So, but this one was single line table rather than individual tables, which I think was a bit of a downfall.
Like a buffet style.
Yeah.
Thing.
So you're trying to have a conversation, but everyone's having a conversation next to you. So it's very hard to focus.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
That was an issue for me. That was a massive issue.
That would be difficult for me, and I haven't got any of your side quests.
However, someone did say the other ones, they're normally like, it's an individual table. You go to the individual tables, you follow the numbers around. But basically, you get a few minutes to just sort of have a chat with people. You get that face-to-face value, just a quick chat, and you write down their name, and then at the end, you send in the ones you want to match with. If they match you, then the company give the lady your number. So it's not, there's no harassment point. You know,
I think imagining a lot of men, I bet you they just go, yes, 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 yes.
Genuinely, I don't know.
I don't know how it works.
I can see that happening.
I there'd be certain people that would just do that.
Probably. I wouldn't rule it out. But, I mean, there was one guy there who's... We were having a laugh before. So.
Right. How many women were there?
So there was 40 people. Well, it was set out for 40 people. All the women turned up, but there wasn't enough men.
Okay.
So apparently normally there's more men than women. That tends to be like, if you're going to have an imbalance, it tends to be there's more men. In this case, the imbalance was actually there was more women than men.
Okay.
So
that's a so good I'm thing assuming, on your side of things.
I'm assuming when you all lined up, there was just some women that didn't have a date.
But they were all so they just chatted until you, until you chained in, sort of thing. Okay. So
how many women were there?
I think they were full table, so I think there was 20 women there.
20 women?
I only spoke to 10.
You spoke to 10?
Yes.
So there's 20 women, you spoke to 10, and how many did you swipe right on?
Four.
Metaphorically speaking. Mm. Four?
Four.
That's not a bad percentage.
Yeah.
Two of them I was really interested in. Two of them I wouldn't normally be interested in, but after having a very short conversation, I was like, I actually want to speak to them more.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
So it was more intrigue than desire.
Yes.
The only problem is not speaking to 10. I'd be going away thinking,
no,
what were them over 10 like?
No, so it was age related. So it was like I was in the 30s and 40s, and then there was the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So they categorised them into, you chose which side.
If I went,
you're in the
40s. I'll be honest
with
you, I'm never going to fucking date in my life again, ever. It's not happening. But I would kind of expect at 44, smack in the middle of both, to be from 30 to 50.
Yeah, well, you could. There was one person who actually sort of, she did. She wanted
I would like cross over. I'd go, yeah, well, I'm okay dating a 30-year-old,
yes,
but I'm also okay dating a 50-year-old.
One of the women I spoke to, she was 53. I didn't put that I wanted to date her. But I tell you what, she was one of the best people I spoke to. She was a real good hoot.
So why didn't you swipe right?
No attraction whatsoever.
Okay. I mean,
just a personality. Oh, you could see yourself as a friend to her,
absolutely.
But nothing more than that.
Absolutely. I would have happily sat and chatted the day away with her. She was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
So
yeah, I've never done the speed dating. But still,
it was interesting.
Swipe right on four, I'd say, it's still quite good.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
No, it was okay. And it was different. It was trying something. So you were just saying, like, what are you trying? Well, that was trying something new.
So. That's, for you in particular, that's properly throwing yourself out there as
again,
well.
I'm sort of on this learning new things about myself. What can...
You're on a full-on discovery mission, aren't you?
Pretty much, yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, I don't. But yeah, I am trying to figure out...
That's a good thing.
But like I said, I'm trying to figure out what's created and what's real.
So, would you, if I was to say to you, okay, for the next 6 months, you can only app or speed date, which one would you pick? So, for 6 months, let's make it easy. Till New Year's Day, you can only app it or twice a week speed date.
So, I'm going to go with this then. We're going to take finance out of it because obviously the apps are free.
Yeah, let's take the money out. But which do you think would be... more, I was going to say productive, but that sounds
I'm
gonna really
go with
shit,
dating,
doesn't it?
You know?
So you think that, like, if you had to choose, take the apps away,
don't get
or
me wrong.
Take speed dating away and only do the other one till New Year's Day.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. The whole, like, it's 3 hours of communication and stuff, and I had to go. I went and sat outside because I was sensory overloaded. And I did kind of point out to everyone, if I'm not making eye contact with you or anything, I just want to point out I am ASD, so there's no awkwardness.
I will say that we did have a conversation when he got back, and he went outside because his head was a bit full, and this woman came out and went, are you okay? His response was, have you ever tried talking to 10 fucking women? And that was probably not the best. He didn't really.
No, I didn't. But yeah, when I went outside to get some space, one of the ladies I'd been talking to asked if it was okay for her to join me, was I okay and everything. And she was one of the ones who I normally probably wouldn't have matched with. But from the conversation I'd had with her inside, and then when I spoke to her for about a good 15, 20 minutes outside, I actually did put date, and she actually messaged me about 30 minutes ago.
So I did 30 minutes ago, so that's fresh.
There we go. That is fresh.
But that's what I mean. So it's like...
He's fresh meat now.
Yeah. But
I think the thing is, as well, is I didn't know what it entailed at all. I had no clue what this entailed. So, like, in my head, it was like a herding thing where it's like, you've had your 4 minutes with everyone, or 5 minutes, whatever the fuck it is. You've had so many minutes with each other now. The women have got to go that way, you've got to go that way. I didn't realise that there was a whole mingling thing afterwards.
Yeah, they do a whole social thing.
The thing is like, let's say for an example, and I'm going to use it the way you wouldn't expect, just so I don't get slagged off. Let's just say that you've got 9 guys like us and 1 Channing Tatum that sat there. Like, that mingling thing's going to be a bit fucking dull, innit? Because you're going to have 10 women surrounding Channing Tatum, and then us, like, 9, so, just stood at the bar going, what are you into then? Like, let's just go for a drink and get pissed. And
not going to lie, one of them that I put as match, she hasn't emailed back in yet, apparently. And she probably won't match for me, which is fine. That's okay. But when...
I think it's your confidence I love
when
about.
When the social thing went, like, opened up, all the men were sat around her and a friend.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was.
And I just sort of went, I ain't even fucking bothering. I'm just going to go. Because my social battery had pretty much hit fucking empty at this point. Mm. And I was like, I just don't want to be here. If she matches, she matches. If she don't, well, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's just...
I think as well is... Certainly in this day and age... If you've got that woman, and we all know them, that want to be chased, you know it's not fucking worth it anyway.
Yeah. So when I was discussing dating and stuff, and like, because one of the conversations was like, how do you meet people when you don't want to go out on social? And I'm like, very difficult. It's very hard for me, which again is one of the reasons why I thought I'm going to try speed date. I'm going to throw myself out there. It's trying something new. It's doing something different. But also, I don't actively go out to meet people. And I'm not good at the approach point. Whereas if you're forced to sit by someone and talk to them for 4 minutes, you've got no choice. You have to interact with them. The icebreaker's done.
I will say, though, given the fact that you chose the speed dating over the apps, I don't think it was a bad thing for you.
No.
I think it's clearly...
I won't lie. It's took me 24 hours to sort of process it and figure out where I stand on it. But given that sort of ultimatum point, I'm like, actually, you know what? There were benefits and it was good to a certain extent. Mm. So, yeah. But it's, again, it breaks that icebreaker. It gives you that icebreaker. Because I can't approach a woman. I really struggle with the whole going up to her and starting the car. I don't know how to. I just don't. I can't do it. I cannot do it. But when it's already done, because you've got no choice, it's a lot easier.
Yeah. See, even growing up, like when I was obviously I was a lot slimmer when I was young. I actually used to look quite athletic and not as horrendous as I do nowadays. But I only ever really chatted to women that I was regularly in contact with. Like I worked, like my parents ran a pub, so I used to work behind the bar. So it was women that would come in and they'd be in there regularly. So you'd see them and you'd talk to them just generally what you wanted to begin with. And then over time, you'd build a sort of friendship or rapport or whatever. They're the women that I would then match with, if you like. They're the ones I would talk to because you've already got to know them a little bit. They've already got to know you a little bit. So you sort of, you use that kind of, the fact that they've just got to know you as you are and they've got to know your personality and all the rest of it, that made it easier for me. I never went on a night out and approached a stranger, ever. I never, ever once did it in my life. Because I just
can't do it.
I just don't see the point. Because like you can barely hear each other in a club anyway. I'll tell you a story about a club in a minute. But like I haven't been to a nightclub in what 20 years, 18, 20 years. It's been a long time. And even back then, I used to dislike it. Too loud, too sweaty. Floor was too sticky. Didn't fucking like it. Too many people. Used to fucking drive me mad. And I don't have your issues. And I fucking hated it for the same reasons you hated it. And I don't have that problem. It still pissed me off. Mm. So how the fuck you cope with it? I don't know. Well, you didn't cope with it at all.
Yeah, I didn't.
You didn't cope with it most of the time. But, so I never approached anybody like that. It was always women that I knew from work or women that would hang around the football or whatever it was you were doing, and you just got to know them generally in the local shop or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Somewhere you'd regularly go. So yeah, I've never been. We all know someone that is quite happy to just approach any fucking stranger that they come across.
Yeah.
You know, the Brazilian that we all know for a start.
Yeah, I knew who you were going.
Yeah, that's it. We know where I was going with it.
The thing was, he was like 52, and it's like you could just go up to any girl at any age and just be like, "Hey."
I love Marcus, right? I love Marcus. He is a beautiful human being. But I hated him on nights out because he was so smooth. Yeah. I mean, he could dance. He got the chat. Brick.
Yeah. he had the swagger.
Brick. Brick, yeah. But yeah, loved him. On a Sunday morning, playing football or going out just one-on-one. Wow, brilliant lad.
Yeah.
Great lad. But I've never... Have you ever approached a complete stranger, started talking?
Yeah, in the past.
With interest or just as a general?
No, with interest in the past, yeah, but actually. I'd have done that in my younger days.
No, not even in my younger days. Never had the bottle.
Mm.
Always just assumed that they were going to tell me to fuck off, and I'm like, I can't be arsed with that.
It's the attitude of what's the worst they can say.
So many things. Like, words hurt, mate. Words hurt. Like,
but then you're not going to see him again.
Yeah, but then words stick with you.
No, if you don't.
Wow.
Not if you have enough to drink as well.
I say I'm not a drinker. Yeah. I've never been a massive drinker.
But I'm glad I don't have to deal with that. I'm glad I don't have to date.
Yeah.
Well, I do date, because obviously I date my girlfriend, but I'm quite happy.
It's still fairly new, though, isn't it? But I know what you mean.
I'm really happy that I will never have to go into that pool again. And
never is
quite
a strong word. Never is a strong word.
It is a strong word. I believe that word as well.
You're very confident in this new relationship, aren't you?
Yeah.
Goodbye. I like the confidence, I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got
obviously,
to when you know it's the right one, you know it's the right one.
Yeah, we'll go into that in my part because I've got a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, now I think about it, I'm like, I don't really worry about what I did in the past and stuff like that, because really, right now, all I care about is what I'm doing going forward. Because it's the only thing that matters.
Well, of course it is, yeah.
Really, so...
It is.
Got great things, like, we've done the old dating, getting to know each other, and now it's living life and stuff, and like I say, I went out... We were going to go out for a meal on Friday. We didn't. We stayed in, had a meal at home with her son and his girlfriend, and you know what? It was an incredible evening. Sat round dining room table, just chatting about anything like school and those things, and the hours pass by, and quite often I'll go round there.
Does she have kids?
Yes.
Okay. Only ask because I know you have. So.
Yes. So kids, so that side of things. So we just sitting at the tables, a great place to be now. It's one of my favourite things that I do. I've done that today before I've come here. I've sat, had Sunday lunch with my girlfriend and her son came and sat at the table. We had meal together. We had a bit of conversation. And then the entire time I was there, I think I was there for about an hour, maybe two, and just just sat at the table, just talking.
It's
and
nice
that's
to see with a bit of a
great
bounce in your step.
Yeah.
Did you see the study on that one, where they were on about how people were more, families were closer and more like productive back when we actually sat at tables and had family time for dinner rather than where we are now? I can't remember the full details of it, but they did a study on the difference.
It depends how far back they're going.
No, it was just they actually did the study where they basically made families. So they noticed the change in how people are. But what they started doing was they got a bunch of families to agree to, like, if you went to...
I guarantee there was one change that he hasn't mentioned that is the reason that they were doing that.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that up right now.
Because I bet it wasn't just sitting around the table eating as a family.
It was removing a certain item.
Television.
Nope.
Phone.
Removing
Felly tone.
Yeah.
Take this out of a kid's hand. They either just stop or they'll actually communicate with you.
Yeah.
one of the two. Mm. These are, hands down,
the worst thing on the planet.
The greatest thing to ever be invented and the worst thing to ever be invented.
Yeah.
Because you can get in trouble and I can send a location to anybody on the planet. One of you two to come and get me, rescue me. You two can do the same. Send me a location and come get you.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You know when they became bad?
I can talk to anybody in the
You know when world. They became bad? When we moved into smartphones with social media apps and YouTube apps.
That's
and all that kind of
the
thing.
Worst thing to
That's
ever happen.
That's when they became bad.
Social media is the worst thing to ever happen to us.
Agreed.
It's not the internet and it's not mobile phones. It's social media because it's the most anti-social fucking thing in the world.
Well, it's like today, there's various episodes where we've had it in the past where you can see that we're both guilty of being on a phone.
Yeah.
He's not guilty because he's off camera, but he is guilty
he's
of
guilty
doing it.
He's guilty because he does it a lot. Because I'll point it out because he's not on camera.
Yeah.
And I go, are you going to fucking join us today or are you going to put your phone down?
But, it's like, for this episode right now, my phone is down there and I find myself now that my phone is... I'll put it down
more
a lot more. Big issue, I was always on my phone too much.
Yeah, I'm guilty of it. I'm definitely guilty of it.
Not so much.
That's for sure. Not so much for social media, though.
We know what yours is for, and we'll go into it in a bit.
Yeah, we'll go into that in a bit. Mine mainly, my social media mainly is used for this.
Yeah.
My interaction with TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and all that sort of stuff is because of the podcast.
Yeah.
It's not my own personal one. I don't even know how to log into my own personal Instagram because I can't remember what it was, let alone what the password was. I'd set it up that long ago and never used it.
Yeah.
I set it up because everyone raved about it. I set one up and I'm like, I don't even know how to use it. So I just left it. I still don't really know how to use it, but I know how to upload clips on the podcast, so I do that. There's times where people have messaged and I haven't worked out how to message them back, so I've had no response because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with it. But they're on there anyway, so I figured I'd do it just because, you know. That's what people do with podcasts, don't they? You just put clips everywhere. So I've decided to do that. Right, we'll have another quick break then, and then we'll go into part three and catch up with my boring, boring existence.
Yes.
We shall see you lovely people very soon. Hello, welcome back from the break. Welcome to part three, in fact. So I think it's my turn, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, this could take a turn. Right, where to start? Last few weeks. Holy shit. So, I was seeing my son Zach, as we all know, because he's been on the podcast before. I've now been stopped because apparently I am causing him mental distress, is the reason cited. I was also told that safeguarding have been informed about it and this, that and the other. I haven't heard anything. I don't think that's true. I think that was all lies. Nobody's heard anything about it. There's been no information. There's been no letters. There's been no phone calls. There's been nothing.
The interesting thing is there's a little certain paragraph that could be used and it's... the term comes under... I think it's alienating parental... thing, which basically means that you could question that Zach's choices have been influenced by another party.
Anybody, and I tell you this for nothing, anybody that's seen the mother's version of Zach and my version of Zach will tell you they are two completely different children. The mother's version of Zach sits in a corner on his tablet, earphones in. My version of Zach has sat and done a fucking podcast.
Yeah.
We all have banter with Zach.
Mm-hmm.
We all will sit and have long-ass conversations with Zach.
Yeah.
That never happens when he's with the mother. Ever. Ever. Doesn't speak to people when he's with the mother. Yeah, I'm the one causing him mental distress. Because of my new partner.
Of course.
I say new. We'll get into that. Not... strictly new, not new, whatever way you want to look at it. So, as we all know, I was also seeing my daughter, Daisy, who's also made a random appearance on the podcast every now and then when she jumps into shop. I now can't see her because her mother has contacted, are you ready for this? Zach's mum and Zach's grandma from his mum's side. She's contacted my current partner's ex. She's contacted another one of my exes. And she's contacted every member of family that my current partner has to cause shit. Yet, I'm the problem. So, all of these, like, all these accusations that are getting thrown about. Like, I went to pick Daisy up from school, I think it was like 4 or 5 weeks ago, whatever it was. And I went to school early. And I said to the school, I'm coming to pick Daisy up early because her mum's causing problems. And I don't want to cause issues for you guys on the yard, but there will be. So I'm here to pick her up early. It's my weekend to see her. I'll pick her up now on the Friday, like I'm meant to. And I'll drop her off on Sunday, like I'm meant to. So I picked her up, had her for the weekend, had her here with tin ribs for the weekend. So you've got Caelan. Had a bit of a play, went to the park, one thing and another. She had a great weekend, took her back on time. Everything was fine. Then I went to pick her up like last week or the week before, whenever it was. Got to school and somebody else was going to pick her up. Now the school had got to a point where they're like, we can't do this every time. We can't let go early every time. And I'm like, well, that's fine. But I'm not going to accept somebody putting a hand on my daughter when I've come to pick her up. I'm on the birth certificate. You know who I am. I used to pick her up every day. So I left the school and I phoned the police. And I said, where do I stand in this situation? I said, because I tell you now, if somebody goes to put the hand on my daughter, I will consider it assault. And I will defend my daughter as I see fit. And the police officer on the phone turned around to me and said, that's completely understandable. I said, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. He said, no, I understand perfectly. And you're well within your rights to defend your daughter how you see fit. I'm like, okay. When I told the school that, they then rung the police, the local police, and had two of them show up to stop anybody else going to pick Daisy up, which was helpful. Mm. How fucking unnecessary is that shit? Just let me pick my daughter up on a Friday and take her back on a Sunday. This is not every week. I'm meant to have it every other week.
Yeah.
So I have my daughter, meant to, 2 nights out of 14. Yeah. So the mother gets 12 nights out of 14. And she's still trying to cause trouble and stop me seeing my child.
Didn't you used to have her in the week as well, though?
Yeah, but what I said was when I first split up with... I nearly said a name then. When I first split up with the mom, I said I'd like to try and keep her routine as normal as possible. I'll still pick her up from school every day, take her back to yours, feed her, get her sorted, then you can get back from work and I'll just walk straight out. No problem. She wasn't happy with that for one reason or another. I was starting to become uncomfortable with it because the mother was wanting more than I was prepared to give. I just wanted to see my daughter sort her out and then leave as soon as the mother got back. That's not what she wanted. She wanted us to try and reconcile, and it was never going to happen. Now, I have since February, when I split up with the mum, reconciled with an old flame. And that has exploded. It's caused shit on so many levels. Nobody is happy that I'm back with.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll refer to her as my old flame. So nobody's happy that I'm back with it, with my old flame. Apart from me, obviously. We split up, 16 years ago. Right, so it was a long, long time ago. We were together many, many years ago. But as Tin Ribs will tell you, it's not like she's ever been far from my thoughts, right, in the whole 16 years. He knows, because he was there when I was with her in the first...
Yep.
The first time
around. I was also the one who told you were a fucking idiot for leaving her. Just want to point that out.
He did mention that. I don't think at the time you knew the extent of what the reason that it split us up.
You didn't really go too much into it.
No, because it's a major event happened and I just fucking lost it. I was confused and I was angry and she didn't do anything wrong, by the way. I'd like to point that out. But I just didn't deal well with what happened at all.
He was immature.
Very much so. Very much so. and I hold my hands up to it. I did not deal with the situation well at all in any way, shape, or form.
I was going to say, I mean, I know.
And I regretted it so fucking much after. Like, the minute we split up, yeah. I fucking regretted it.
Yeah.
And I've regretted it ever since, but...
I was going to say, you mentioned when we worked at Bibby together.
I didn't even know that. I didn't realise...
You've always mentioned
it. I didn't even realise I'd spoken to you about it. All the way through. Didn't even realise that. Obviously, I knew I'd spoken to you and obviously Spen, the Tottenham fan we spoke about.
Obviously, you weren't with her when we first met.
No.
You told me about her.
I split up with her, I think, in 2008. Mm. Towards the end of 2008. And I started Bibby March 2010.
Yeah.
I don't know why I remember that, but I remember it. My memory's shit as well. March 2010, I started it at Bibby. Yeah. Which is where we met.
Yeah.
Working for the first time because he was the only one that fucking helped me out. So yeah, I didn't realise I'd actually spoken to you about her at all.
Multiple times.
Wow. Yeah.
So it wasn't exactly coming as a shock when you mentioned that you'd met up with her and stuff like that, and you didn't really have to explain the history.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't realise.
Because I knew it already.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't remember that. Obviously, I knew you knew Spen and some other people that I'd played football with many years ago that obviously knew the situation. But obviously now me being with my old flame is now a major, major issue for everybody. Nobody's happy about it. I guess I can sort of see their point of view where it's like, in as much as not the whole stopping contact with the kids, I think that's fucking ridiculous. I get why they're upset, because they're now looking at it going, well, you never cared about me because you'd always had feelings for this person. I sort of get where they're coming from with that. I can sort of accept that that might be a psychological issue. Part of me thinks, get over it. And part of me thinks, I don't think my old flame really affected anything, because in my head, it like, I was never going to talk to her again. Like, so it was never going to be a thing. So it was never going to be an issue. So I just sort of ignored it for years and years. Well, apart from talking to you guys about it, obviously. But
I know it's mean as a thing, but that kind of just says that were you ever 100% into it? If there was always that thing where you think, I miss that one, there's always that...
But it's
a tough thing to say, and that's where they're looking at the viewpoint, and you just said you can see where they're coming from.
I understand why they get to the end of the relationship, find out that I'm back with somebody I used to be with many years ago. Obviously, when you're falling out with somebody, right, now I will try to stay civil, but the second I hear you can't see your child, I am venomous with my words. Venomous. And I will go to the one place I know will fucking cut you like a knife. Do not tell me I can't see my kids. Call me anything you want to call me. Slag me off. Tell my mates anything. You've been messaged fucking regularly. He's this, he's that, he's the other. Or a few months ago, or 3 months ago, or whatever it was. You've been messaged with loads of shit. My mum's been messaged with loads of...
No, it's pretty much when you first split up, your ex contacted me, and I won't lie, I didn't defend you, because I could see where you were wrong, but I also pointed out both sides, where you were both doing things that realistically, again, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You can stand there and go, we were a bit immature there, or we reacted wrong. But if you did, the pair of you, if you'd have just gone into it with a bit more of an adult sense of mind, I think you could have been a lot more amicable. And the thing that pissed me off, and the reason that I opened the door to both of you and I'm quite happy to mediate, is the fact that just because someone is getting pissy over how someone left you, by withholding the children or acting like a fucking infant, the person you're hurting isn't... Well, okay, she is hurting you, but she's hurting your child a damn sight more than you.
Mm-hmm.
And... what annoys me is, I mean, Zach's mom is just a petulant child. She is. She's a petulant child who needs to grow the fuck up.
She's never going to happen.
It's not going to happen. The woman can't stand on her own two fucking feet. She needs support and her hand-holding at every fucking moment in life and thinks she's a fucking strong, independent woman. Sorry, love. If your welfare check stopped, you'd fall through the fucking floor and die.
Mm.
She's pathetic. She's a child. She needs support. She needs mommy to tell her what to do. She's pathetic. She is damaging her child. There you go. I've said it on air and I'm not. I don't care. Daisy's mom, I think, is not the same. I think she's hurt. And I think there are...
She's contacted every single person.
Yeah.
Connected to either. I get she's hurt, but fucking hell. There's limits.
I do think you need to... I think she needs to realise that Daisy is the one getting hurt here.
She won't. She's
not bright. This is where we said that you didn't handle it the best way.
No, and do you know what? I sent her a message and I spoke to her. This is Daisy's mom. I sent her a message and I spoke to her, genuinely and sincerely apologising because of the timing of it all. And I said, look, there was nothing in it at that point. I'd literally just gone round to see her. I'll say it less cryptically. I'd gone round initially to see my old flame to help her out with some things because I'd seen her mom in town, my old flame's mom in town, and obviously I knew her from years ago as well. You know her as well, don't you? Because she was around the football team years ago. So I genuinely had just come around to her. So it didn't occur to me at the time that it was going to be the bonfire that it became because of the reason I was going. I'm like, it's the problem. I'm going to help somebody. And like, I wasn't going to jump into bed with anybody. It wasn't that. But yeah, it just exploded. So I did message Daisy's mom, obviously. I'm like, sent her a sincere apology, and I'm like, okay, it was a bit quicker. I'm really genuinely sorry.
Yeah,
didn't mean to annoy you, hurt you, piss you off, whatever it was, as much as it has done. Wasn't my intention, and I apologize. You know, I'm sorry about it. And then I got a load of abuse back, and I'm like, well, okay, there's not really a lot I can do now. Like, I've said my piece, I've made an apology. If you're not going to accept it, there's not really a lot I can do. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And I'll just have to deal with it. And now, I'll be honest with you, I've blocked her on everything. I just get a ream of abuse now. So I've sent her the link to an app that we can use for the court case as well.
Is it that communications one where the court can access it at all times?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that app. It's
called
really quite
App Close.
That's the one.
So for anyone that is interested, there's an app called App Close. And you can literally, I've scheduled my visits with Daisy for the next 5 years on here.
Yeah.
And so I can put on collected Daisy.
Yeah.
Took Daisy back and note the exact time. Like dropped. I'm meant to drop her off between 4 and 4:30. That's
yep.
So I can go drop Daisy off at 4:12.
Yeah.
4:29, 4:34, whatever it is. And then if she's not in one day, I can put under here, went to collect Daisy, wasn't in.
Yeah.
Such and such a time, such and such a day. And then when we go to court, I can give court access to this app and they can come into it and look at every message.
Mm-hmm.
They'll listen to every phone call. They can see every, like you can see there the list of when I'm meant to be starting with Daisy and taking Daisy back.
Yeah.
Start Daisy, take her back. Start Daisy, take her back. Mm-hmm. And that the court will have
full access
to the whole
it's a really good app.
Everything.
Really good app.
So for those that are curious, it's called App Close, but she's refusing to join it now. She's saying, I found another app. I'm like, I'm not interested in another app. I know this one works. This is the one that's recommended. So you join it or you don't. Either way, you're going to court.
Yeah.
This is where you tilt your finger. What is the other app? I know that you said, I'm not interested, you're doing it your way, but you say that you want to see, you couldn't know.
But the
you
thing
should
is,
listen and
the
see what
is,
that app is.
I've set everything up
I know
on
you've
there.
Set everything
so
up.
So I'm like, just join the app and send the message. Yeah. I can't change anything on there. No. I can't edit her messages. I can't edit the phone calls. It is what it is. Yeah.
But have you actually opened up the idea of having her. The one that she wants? Have you actually thought about it?
No, because she's like, I've only got the message earlier today, and I'm like, you're only doing it for a control. And I'm not.
What? Then if you want to see your daughter, then maybe you've just got to.
Yeah, but I won't see her anyway. She's going to stop contact regardless.
No, you don't know that.
That's not the point.
So I'll just go to court and I'll say to court, I've given her the option. I've set everything up. All she's got to do is join it.
No, I disagree with that. I would listen to what that app is and at least explore it. Yeah.
Do your research. Have a look at that app. Meet halfway. Essentially, it's meeting halfway. If the app does the exact same thing, then bend the knee a little bit.
Yeah.
You're seeing your daughter.
Yeah, but I still won't see her.
But the point is, you've made the effort. You've made that effort. So then,
I'll download the app then, and we'll do that.
Just straight download it. Look into it. Because if it turns out that it doesn't do the same, then stick with the one you've got because that does what you need it to do.
Yeah.
However, if it does the exact same thing...
And she decides, okay, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
We can communicate through that and you can go pick her up from the school on your next arranged time.
It's just all about control.
Doesn't matter.
It fucking winds me
up.
Stop being childish and just join the
app.
It doesn't make any sense.
But now you're the one.
Yeah, but it's not about control. It's about, it's already set up. Just join it. It's done. It's all set up, done. Just join it and get on with it. I can't control anything on that app. I can't change your messages.
No, I get
I can't change phone calls. I can't change anything. There's no control there.
You can't control how she's reacting to it, though. But she will be exactly the same. And if it does exactly the same thing, Friday,
I'll download it to have a look at it.
Okay.
If come Friday, you turn up at the school and nobody else is there to pick her up apart from you, because you've done that. At the end of the day, it's going to piss you off a little bit because she's got her way, she's got the app that she wants. But
it's not
you've
so much
got
that.
What you want, and that's seeing your daughter.
Yeah. I'm still going to have to go through court anyway.
You probably will. But if in the meantime you can get this regular access, and if it is just to say that she's dictating when you're picking her up and when you're doing this, maybe as much as you hate
you're
it...
You're showing the court that you're the one trying.
Bending over... You'll do what it takes to see it.
I'll download it and I'll have a look through it and I'll look at it. But I just think it's fucking pointless and childish.
The app you mentioned is very good and I know someone who's used it. So
it's court recommended.
Absolutely.
It's literally the one the court recommend for people to use. That's the only reason I've downloaded it. It's because I looked into it and that's the best one for the court.
There you go. So, like I
said... So why do you want another one when that's the best one for what we're doing?
Perhaps doesn't want to... pick what you say because perhaps you've done exactly the same thing and picked everything. It might be, but then right here, right now, because she's done back, you're kind of being a little bit childish yourself.
I'm just fed up.
I know you are.
I'm just fed up.
You are
because every single time I go to pick Daisy up, I get, you're not having her this week, you're not having her this week.
Yeah.
And then I have to ring the fucking police every time.
But it is just a simple
just trying
case
to get it sorted
of,
out.
Have a look at it. If it's in the court recommendations or it's within the parameters, you are doing everything that you can to see your child.
No, I get that.
If it doesn't do it, then you are fully in your right to turn around and go, the court don't recognise it. It's not an app that is going to benefit the situation. This one is, please use this. But show that you're willing. Because by showing a bit of willing, maybe, I'm not saying it will, and I know you're already going to shoot me down, but maybe if you show a bit of willing, she might show a bit of willing back. And if she doesn't, do you know who see that? The court.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to court twice. They don't give a fuck about dads.
I know
you're saying it's changed over the last 12
months.
And
I've also seen it work the other
way
as well.
But fucking hell, courts do not give a fuck about fathers.
They
and
like...
this does need talking about
a lot
more.
Of this has to do with attitude.
Yeah. And if you're showing that you're willing
the very first time I went to court, I bent over backwards. Everything I was told, I did. Everything I was asked, I provided.
Yeah.
Every time I was meant to be there, I was there. Right? In the first 2 years alone, 27 times Zach's mum broke the court order. And every time I went back to court, they went, it's gone now, it's in the past. I said, well, okay, next time I pick Zach up, I'll pick him up and not take him back for 2 weeks. Or do you realise you could be fined or you could be imprisoned? I'm like, was that just for dads then? Like, because she breaks the court order 27 times, nothing. I threaten to break it once, you're threatening me with court. And prison,
I mean, I
and
think you'll find
fines
that
and all sorts.
When you word it like that, it sounds like you're half threatening the judge of stuff, what you're going to do, and judges aren't going to like that attitude.
And I get that, but I'm literally saying she's already broken it 27 times, and you've done nothing. So surely I'm allowed at least one.
You've just got to be careful on how you word things.
I get too
and
hurt
do
up.
Things. I know you do.
I'm very reactive.
And that probably works against you.
Oh, it definitely works against me. But it shouldn't, because I'm there to see my daughter.
I know.
So they should just go, you get 50%, you get 50%, end of story. That should be how courts work. You should automatically get 50, unless you've got drugs or alcohol. Or I get
this, you know what the thing is?
Situations
that's
exactly that are slightly
different. How it is. And you don't have to prove why you need access to see them 50-50 now, because it doesn't work like that anymore. The mother has got to prove why you don't.
Well, we'll see when we
that's
go to court.
That's how it works now. So we'll you've just got to...
I'm more hopeful than optimistic. And I'm not even that hopeful. I'm definitely not optimistic.
You need a different approach. It's a completely...
I had to suppress the first thought that went into my mind then, by the way. When he said different approach, I'm going to keep it to myself.
Yeah. You need a different approach where you've got to be friendly, not be sarcastic with the judge. You got to be not yourself.
Wow.
The disappointing thing is, looking at his face, he agrees with me.
Oh, he 100% agrees with you.
Yeah.
Don't be yourself. What a prick. Best advice I've ever had.
It's harsh. I love you exactly how you are, but the judges aren't going to.
It just doesn't work in court.
No.
I got
that. It's not going to, because people don't... It's the same with, like, at my place where I work. I got held back because I would open my gob.
The thing is, though, and this is what bugs me the most, especially in family court. It's not family court, it's mother's court, let's be honest. So the thing with mother's court is...
See, when you word it that way...
As long as... I'm not in court now, though.
Yeah, but you would say that sort of thing in court.
I may have said that in court.
Exactly, so this is the problem.
You're talking, right? I started saying shit like this after 7 years of fighting and failing. So it's not like... I played the game for about 6 years.
I know.
I was straight down that. I went in suit and tie. I was as polite as could possibly be. For 6 years, it got me nowhere. And eventually, I just stood there and I was like, what's the point? And they're going, well, when would you like to see your son? I'm like, is there any point in me even answering that question? Because she's just going to stop me. You're not going to care. And I'm just going to end up back here fighting the same argument I've been fighting for the last 6 years. Well, you've got a different judge now. And I went, that's part of the problem.
You never
I've been doing this for 7 years and I've never had the same judge twice. So I've been into court, genuinely, I've been into court where one of the judges has gone, looked at the mother and gone, you are completely wrong. You can have exactly what you've asked for. I'm like, wonderful. She just stops the contact because she can, because it's allowed, because the police won't enforce it. So there's nothing you can do on the spot. You have to wait till you go back to court, which, by the way, you have to pay for nearly 300 quid every fucking time you have to go back. You go back to court, you tell the judge, it's a different judge, who then goes, that's right. How fucking frustrating do you think that is? And after 6 years, you've had enough. And you just stand there going, what's the point?
Yeah.
Have you got anything to say, Mr. Carter? I'm like, is there any fucking point in me saying anything? You don't listen to what I've got to say anyway. Every time she says something, I have to prove why that's not true. How is that a thing in a court in this country? That's not how it's meant to work. If she's accusing me of something, she's meant to prove it is true. Not me just defend myself because it's automatically true. And that's why I get so frustrated. That's why I've got the attitude that I've got.
I know.
And I tell you now, I won't be going into there with a positive attitude because I've got no faith in the system. I've got no faith in any other judges. I've got no faith in the system. And I've got no faith that they'll do the right thing. I don't think they give a shit about my daughter. I think the only person they care about is the mother. Because that's my experience.
Yeah.
And we're talking 12 years of experience over my two court cases. That's a lot of experience. And that's what I'm fighting against. I'm fighting against the knowledge that for 12 years, it didn't matter what I did, what I said, how I dressed, how I looked, how I spoke. I am far, far more articulate than either of my exes that I went to court with. Right? Lyrically, they're fucking stupid. The spelling's horrendous and all sorts. And you still don't get listened to. It's all about the mum. It's what the mum says. And it's really, really frustrating. So I'm already, I haven't even started the court process yet, and I'm already defeated. Because I know it's going to be a waste of time. I know I'm going to go in. I know I'm going to get my ass handed to me for no reason. And I know it's going to cost me an absolute fortune just so I can say to Daisy in 10 years' time, here's the proof that I at least tried. Because that's all I'm going to court for as far as I'm concerned. It's just to show Daisy when she's old enough that I tried to see her and her mum stopped me. Guys don't win in court. It doesn't work. It's not a thing.
I have seen it happen.
How much money did he have? Because I'm not a millionaire.
Not much.
I can't afford a fucking solicitor and a lawyer and all that shit. No. They get them provided because they're women and that's what they do.
No, you just...
All the woman has to do is go into court, claim domestic violence, which they don't have to prove, claim domestic violence and they get a solicitor given to them.
Why don't you claim domestic violence?
You've seen my ex, right?
Doesn't matter.
There's not a fucking person in the world who can believe that.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I've been an abused partner, right? As you well fucking know.
Yeah, and I'm telling you now, it does not matter on the size of the woman. I've seen some very nasty short women.
Oh, yeah, because the woman that was horrible to me is fucking tiny.
Yeah, I could throw her around.
But there's not a fucking court in the world that I'd just get laughed at.
No, they wouldn't.
No, not no, if you can get, you could get punched and it wouldn't even affect you. Like, yeah. It doesn't hurt, if I, but they could just do whatever.
You, just grabbed you, it's assault.
Oh, no, that's why I used it with Daisy instead. If they put the hand exactly. I'm going to consider it so assault. I know
you can do the same. You can, the amount of abusive messages you've had, you've got quite a lot of evidence there.
I've got a lot of abusive messages.
So you could actually put a harassment case in. And guess what? That's a legal thing.
Depending what messages
are. No, it's protected by it's a legal thing.
Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I think both of them are not classed as...
Live. They're live actions. What Meta protects both. Therefore, they are live things protected.
They did say that the best ones are actual Messenger and email are the two best forms of communication.
Who communicates with a partner or ex-partner through email?
People do.
Because my new lady, every message I've ever sent her has been through fucking WhatsApp.
I know, but there's reasons for it.
I think it started on Facebook.
There is reasons for it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see anyway. I'll keep updating and see where we're at. Although it'll be a little while anyway, because it's fucking ages before they get you in court, isn't it? Daisy's 6 now, she'll probably be 20 by the time we get a court date. Because we all know how quick the court system is in this country. Fucking useless. All of them. Right, I think what we're going to do is we're going to call it there, because we've listened to me drone on long enough now, I think. That's fun as yet. Thanks for joining us, Tim Ribs, finally. Now you've been released. Stop driving like a twat.
Can't help.
Yeah.
You really can't. Trust me, no. Thanks for joining us.
No worries.
And we might be back next week. I don't know. Should we be back next week?
Probably.
Well, we have got the Club World Cup going on.
Nobody gives a fuck.
No, I know that. I just
nobody gives a fuck.
I mean, right now, Bayern Munich are absolutely smashing Auckland City 8-0.
What, 10th minute?
78th.
Oh, okay. Gone easy on them, haven't they?
But it's been doing
that. It might become a prestigious trophy in the next 15, 20 years, and one of these teams is going to be able to say, we were the first to win it. Like, I'm sure when the World Cup first started, somebody was walking around going, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, well...
Uruguay now have the privilege of saying they won the first ever one, so who knows? It may become a prestigious thing in future.
Al-Ahly.
Oh yeah, I know which one you're.
They drew 0-0 with Inter Miami.
That was the invite because they've got Messi.
Yeah. Literally, the only reason they're in it, really? Because Lionel Messi's. Yeah. They haven't won anything, have they, Inter Miami?
No, they haven't won anything.
They got Suarez and Messi.
Yeah, they have,
and they still
Drew 0-0 with a Saudi team. Yeah, it says a lot, doesn't it? Right, we shall see you lovely, lovely people next week.